Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Spoke, the all-new and exclusive podcast series with me, Chidera, a.k.a. The Slum Flower.
Me, Sully Breaks, poet, writer, spoken word, artist, etc., etc.
Where we discuss issues at the heart of youth culture and how music and literature are shaping the conversation.
Okay, so we felt that the way we dealt with Kanye West's breakdown earlier this year raises some very serious issues about how we perceive mental health in general.
Even though mental health is still very much a taboo subject when it comes to those in the public eye, stories of celebrity breakdowns and mental health disorders are sensationalised, giving those suffering no chance to heal.
So in this episode, we're talking about mental health, the facts, the fiction, and the effects of fame.
You are in for such a treat. This is our first ever episode of Spoke Podcast. And it's such an exciting and fascinating conversation that you're going to be able to witness, because you know how it is with discussing difficult and fragile things. It needs to be with people who have lived the experience and are clued up. We are joined by two incredible, exciting, talented
Fantastic.
People. Oh my
Wonderful.
Gosh, I can't. I actually can't. I can't. You heard that laugh. If you recognize that laugh, that was Monroe. We've got Monroe Bergdorf in the studio right now.
Hi.
And sat next to her is Poppy Ajuda. Two icons. I'm actually shaking. You can't see me, but I'm shaking. This is major.
Nah, she's really shaking. Yeah. She is. She's vibrating my chair. I can feel the tremors.
Thank you for your moral support.
It's cool. I'm here, man.
He's
I'm
hoping
here
you
access.
Do you know what I mean? We need that energy more in life. It's a pivotal moment. So, Poppy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah, I'm Poppy Ajuda. I'm a musician from South London.
She's being modest.
She's being so modest. This girl, yeah.
We don't want modesty here, guys. No modesty.
Behaviour.
You know, push yourself.
If you don't know about Poppy, she did a Colours Berlin video, and it's absolutely sick, where she basically performed live in front of a really amazing green screen, and the colours are amazing. The styling is so on point.
You're giving it all away.
Girl, but
and
that's
that
the
new
magic
Nike advert.
Yeah.
Oh, see,
oh my God.
You didn't mention the Nike. How can you not mention
Poppy,
the Nike?
What,
I'm just a musician from South London. Uh-huh. Like, come on, man.
Uh-huh.
Say it with your chest.
She's been on Tom Misch's projects. Like, you might have heard her pretty much everywhere.
Can you imagine if in my bio I just was like reeled off all the like,
yes. So pretty much I expect you to, after hearing this, go out of your way to look for Poppy and support her work, because she's iconic and she's going to be causing a lot of trouble. And I mean the good kind of trouble.
And speaking and the bad of kind of trouble.
Yeah, oh, girl. Yeah. We love a troublemaker. And speaking of causing trouble, we have another troublemaker in the room. Her name is Monroe Bergdorf.
Yay.
Girl, you want to tell us about the trouble you've been causing?
Oh, God. Google me.
I like
you
that.
You actually
like
have to
that.
Google her?
Yeah. That subtle stunt. That's how you do it. I like that. That's how you do it. It's subtle, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't mean to cause trouble. That's not what I mean to do. But it seems to kind of follow me. And in the good sense, I think, recently, I did have a bit of a crazy year last year where a lot happened that I wasn't kind of I didn't foresee happening, but now it's more about dissecting that and why that happened and how we can use it as a teachable moment for speaking about diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, absolutely.
They say, isn't it, the darkest night comes before the sun rises.
Always.
Was that right?
Always. All right, cool, always. Cool, cool. If you don't know what Monroe was talking about, basically Monroe was part of a L'Oreal campaign, and she spoke out against racism in the most blunt and clear way. And unfortunately, it was used against her in a series of smear campaigns, including you know, her appearing on This Morning, Good Morning Britain, with Piers Morgan essentially gaslighting her, and she held her own so well. Until this day, I still go back to watch that interview, and it gives me the energy that I need to move through a world that has been built on institutionalized racism. And I really appreciate that you did that, because you don't realize that you ran so that people like me could fly. Like, you don't understand the kind of energy you need. Honestly, that energy was so needed. Thank and you don't you. Understand how much you changed the way that people have conversations about race, because people are terrified of it. And for you to do that, you put yourself in the firing line, and you should never have to do that, but you did that. And I'm sure you it was a really hard period, because even watching it was really hard, so I couldn't even imagine being in that position. And from that, you've been able to turn it around for yourself. And so for anybody, regardless of whether they relate to what you're talking about or not, they're able to see a living, breathing success story that continues to shift and change and evolve constantly. Like, you've been able to own your story entirely, and that is so important.
I want you at my funeral.
Can you imagine Monroe has brought me for a funeral? I'm writing your obituary,
girl. In advance,
girl.
Already. Actually, can I ask you a question regarding that before we go into anything else? Uh-huh. So, obviously everyone knows how Piers is, you know what I mean? Like, he's not the most favourable person, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
I always feel like if Piers calls me, I'll be like, nah, I'm not, you know what I mean? What was it like?
Well, primarily, I believe that we need to debate with people that don't think the same thing as us, otherwise we don't get anywhere. We would just be operating in our own private rooms, and the world still turns as it is. So I just wanted to show the world exactly where we're at, essentially, when it comes to speaking about race. That largely white people don't have to speak about it if they don't want to, but Black people still need to, all people of color still need to live that existence. So it's almost like, in not speaking about it, we're just doing it for the comfort of the majority.
Yeah, like preaching to the choir, essentially. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was always going to go that way. And I think when you're having a debate with someone, you need to be researched on how they think. And I knew what Piers was going to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was wondering.
You held your own
There was no way that I was going to get riled, because I already knew how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And the more that he got worked up, the more it just showed the problem. So I just kind of like sat there and allowed him to take it personally when it wasn't anything about him, and just allowed the conversation to play out like it is in society, really. I think it was like a micro version of a macro problem.
Of course. Of
was
course.
That scary to go into that space knowing that...
I'm not scared of Piers. No, I mean, it's daunting because I didn't have the profile then that I do now. Yeah. And like now I kind of believe in myself a lot more. Mm-hmm. And when I go into a television program, I know what I'm capable of. I'm there to do it, so I'm going to do it. And I don't second guess myself. But at that at that point in time, I had the whole country and world really kind of looking at me, like kind of waiting for me to stumble, waiting for me to say something else, waiting for me to put my foot in it or whatnot. And they didn't know the kind of person that I was. So they didn't have that reference of intelligence, that reference of education, of self-belief, empowerment. They just thought that I was an angry Black woman, like the media painted me out to be. So now I'm much less daunted than I was then, but it wasn't so much because I'm scared of Piers. I'm not.
Speaking of fear and daunting and putting yourself in an environment where you're essentially in the firing line, it often means that nobody thinks about your mental health, and nobody actually considers that behind all these words is a person, a breathing person who's more than just a statement that they've put out there into the world. And so basically, for those who don't know, how this show is going to work is that every single time we have a guest on, they come with an item that they're going to use to discuss their standpoint. It could be a book, it could be a documentary, it could be something like a story they've heard, it could be a film, it could be anything. And so Poppy and Monroe have both brought items with them. Poppy, do you want to talk about your item? What have you brought with you today?
Yeah, so I am really into James Baldwin. I've been reading a lot of him recently, and I really like the poems he writes. They inspire a lot of my writing. So I was just kind of researching around his work, and I guess someone who is like a really powerful person who spoke about really political things and is seen as someone very strong. And I kind of was doing some research, and something came up in the Poetry Foundation about like the suicide notes of James Baldwin, and it was like it retold a story of him being at like a party with Billie Holiday performing to some friends, and his boyfriend, and him and his boyfriend weren't doing well, and it was because his boyfriend had said he was leaving and going to Paris, and I think what the kind of article said was that these kind of situations happened a lot with James in his life with relationships, and it recounted him kind of attempting suicide and then realizing in those moments that he actually really wanted to be alive, but that happened a lot in his life, and that he went back and forth with those feelings. And I thought it was just really interesting because I didn't know that about him, and all of you kind of your idols or people that you find inspiring, you think are this pinnacle of strength, and you never assume that they have the thoughts or feelings that you might have to do with mental health. And I just thought it was quite I guess humanizing in a sense.
Yeah, and I think why that story really shakes me, and I never knew that he attempted suicide at all, is because if you look at the way James Baldwin is referenced now, he's seen as this cultural anchor, this icon who was speaking out at a time when it wasn't okay to speak up. And he spoke up with so much tenacity and boldness and conviction that you think that someone with that kind of strength is surely very, very secure in themselves and is sure of their message.
And even the way he speaks, like when you hear him, when you watch videos of the way that he projects and the way that he talks to an audience, is like when I try and talk about political things in my songs or at shows, I can't imagine performing to that extent of this is what I have to say and this is how I'm going to say it, and I really believe in myself.
So question to you guys, do you feel like his position and what he represented kind of contributed to that aspect of him, you know, that fame? Because we can always argue that as people being on a certain pedestal and having these responsibilities thrust upon you, does it inherently come with the territory? Is that like the necessary evil of being someone who's an ambassador or representation
or an activist?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Do you feel like that's a consequence? I mean,
I think definitely to an extent. I think the problem with what we do sometimes is that there's not necessarily a reference point because we are doing us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're speaking from the perspective of an activist.
Exactly. We're speaking about our own personal experiences, and you can't really all the time relate that to a job. Kind of description. It doesn't end and you never switch off, and your hours are all over the place. People look up to you. People hold you to an esteem that you aren't necessarily capable of fulfilling half the time. And it's quite difficult. And that's why activist burnout is such a big thing. And
I like that phrase, why,
activist burnout.
Yeah.
Real.
And like me and Jadera were talking about this as well. Like when I was texting her on the way
literally
here.
Literally, I was like, babe. Because Monroe was running late.
I may have overslept.
She overslept. And then Monroe was texting me, apologizing to me. And I was like, look, don't apologize. Okay. Because me and Monroe have the same manager. And I was like saying to Monroe that I was literally having a meltdown to Kim, our manager, yesterday, saying that I'm literally burnt out. I can't do this. These early start times and late night finishes are killing me mentally, and I'm going to become ill. And obviously Kim can't do much because these are commitments that I agreed to in the past. And sometimes, especially as an activist, you feel compelled to say yes to a lot of things because you know there's a greater purpose behind it. But then when it creeps up on you and you're tired, you're fighting between having to show up but also having to take care of yourself.
Yeah. And like a few days before, I think you're one, so we all had one at different points. I had the same. I was messaging my manager, like, don't call me. I'm so stressed. And it was just before Fashion Week. And I was just like, oh my God, so many things to do. I'm like planning a million things. And it's like you have that moment where everything feels like it's on top of you.
Definitely. I've got much better recently at knowing when I need to pull back.
How do you know when you need to pull back, Monroe?
Well, I mean, I just try to see patterns, and patterns of my behaviour or patterns of people trying to take the mickey. I can't commit financially, emotionally, physically, mentally to this project if I'm not getting anything back. And if I'm not getting anything back, then I'm not going to commit to it. So,
and knowing your value is really important.
Knowing your value, knowing your worth, knowing your boundaries, knowing how much you can commit. And just, I don't know, I'm a year deep into like doing it at this level now. And I was doing it, but at a much lesser level before. And like now I feel like I can cope with things in a way that I just couldn't before. Mm. And it is a resilience, but it's a conscious resilience. It's not like, you know, developing a thick skin because I've been abused. It's,
no, it's more
really
that.
Kind of taking action over how I exist within my own space.
Agreed. Poppy, what are your signs when you know that burnout is coming? How can you tell burnout is about to happen to you? Because you're a musician, but also you're every. I've been seeing you at so many fashion shows. You're out here doing campaigns. You're literally just being pulled in so many different directions. You're the equivalent of booked and busy. But a lot of people romanticize that term, but booked and busy often means burnout.
It means stress. It means anxious most of the time. I think if you're an ambitious person and you're a creative who loves to do a lot of things, you're inspired by a lot of things, you want to do all of those things, it's like you love your work, and I think that's what's really difficult when you were saying about there are no work hours. It's like if you were employed by someone, it would be illegal the amount that you're working because without breaks, you know, like that kind of thing.
A word.
Can you imagine?
That's so true.
That like, is a word.
And no, there's no one to regulate it, and everyone wants you to do as much as possible. And I think it's just being really aware of yourself, and like you said, knowing when you're at that point where you're too anxious, or you because I think everyone experiences mental health in different ways, and everyone does experience it, I think, is the point. And I think even before doing this podcast, it's not something I've ever talked about. I talk about like race, gender, sexuality. I've never talked about mental health because I think it's something that I've always viewed as like a point of weakness, is when I'm at my weakest and I'm like feeling anxious before going to an event.
Yeah.
Because I won't know anyone there, and I've got a network, and I'm like, why do they even want me there anyway?
Yeah.
Because of who am I? And it's like that moment between like getting out of your house and being at the event and being like, I just have to get here. Yeah. And then
it's performance,
it's fine.
In itself.
Yeah.
You're in a constant state of performance.
And everyone has it. And it's about like, I guess, how you deal with it. And if you have support, and if you have someone to like be like, no, go, you're great, or whatever it is. For me, I've always seen it as like something that gets in the way of me doing what I want to do. And I always think back to something that my mum said, is that don't ever let fear stop you from doing anything.
Yes. 100.
And fear isn't real. Like, fear isn't something that is tangible. It's just in your head. And if you let it stop you, you won't do what you want
to
do.
For sure. I've got something to add to this, actually. Mm. I am a huge self-sabotager. Or self-saboteur.
Mood.
Self-saboteur.
Mood.
Yeah,
make
that's aggressive. That's
yes. Yes. I'm happier being a self-saboteur than a self-saboteur.
So can you explain what a self-saboteur is for those who don't know?
So I think in my definition of a self-saboteur is when things are going well, and you're just like, things are going a little bit too well.
Let's spice it up a little.
Let's throw a spanner in the works. And like, I do it with who I allow back into my life.
Oh, the sea.
This is my relationship with cisgender men.
I feel like you're dragging me right now.
No, it's my relationship with cisgender men. To be honest, I feel like I'm a much better person when I'm in a relationship with a woman than I am in a relationship with
men
a man.
Bring out the
as the only man on the table right now. So when you say cisgender men, for people who may not be tight and inclined,
what does that word mean?
So cisgender is basically, in layman's terms, the opposite of transgender. So you identify as the gender that you're assigned with at birth. So if you were assigned male at birth and you still identify as a male, then you're cisgender man.
Cool.
So you would be a cisgender.
Okay, cool. So I'm the problematic one. I'm in the problematic.
Well, your intersection is highly problematic. But I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying your people are.
I don't take offense because I agree. So I'm not bothered. You know what I'm saying?
So basically, I kind of feel sometimes that when things are going too well, I'll either be like, oh, let's go out and get completely smashed, and then
make
deal with picking up the pieces the following week when you've got X, Y, Z, and A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, O, P stuff to do. And it just doesn't. And then the burnout starts. I can cope with things if I look after myself.
Of course.
But in looking after myself, I need to reprocess everything going on. And sometimes it's easier to not process it and go out and sabotage, because you don't need to deal with it then.
So do you think the kind of answer to that is noticing when you're doing that and being like, no, stay home.
Yeah,
do not text that
for
person.
Sure. I mean, last night I was invited to 3 parties.
Jeez.
And I was like, no, I've got a 10 a.m. call time. I need to be up on time. So I watched American Horror Story
and
loved it. And I still woke up late because I'm jet lagged. But do you know what I mean? So like, I'm still here, but yeah. I probably wouldn't have been here if I'd gone out and I was jet lagged. It's a better situation if I'm just looking at my own behaviour and analysing what I'm doing.
So speaking of you, what item did you bring with you today?
So I was going to bring my documentary, but I thought about the documentary that really made me want to get into documentaries.
What's your documentary called?
The documentary is called Paris is Burning.
Jeez.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, and my documentary is called What Makes a Woman. It's out now
Channel
on
4.
Channel 4.
On demand.
So I bought...
Could you elaborate on the Paris is Burning?
Yeah, I bought Paris is Burning. It's a documentary about trans ball culture in the 1980s, trans Vogue ball culture in the 1980s. And anyone that doesn't know what a Vogue ball is, it's basically events that are thrown. They're kind of like parties, but they're more performance... events. I don't know, how would you explain a Vogue ball? It's difficult. Like, people go to a venue and they essentially battle it out dancing.
Kind of reminds me of Soul Train.
Like Stomp the Yard.
Yeah, it's a very specific kind of dance.
It's kind of like from expressive.
But I think it's
really
about
difficult.
Having attitude, and it's about performing and
there's different categories. Yeah. So there'll be like Sex Siren, there'll be Vogue Femme. It's basically largely frequented by LGBT people of colour.
Oh, okay.
And this one is set in the 80s in New York, where Vogue culture originated and became what it is today. And it really was my first example of how futile the trans experience can feel. And how isolating and frustrating you can feel. And there's a monologue performed by a transgender woman called Dorian Corey. And she says something, I'm probably going to misquote it because I haven't watched it in a while, but she says, if you shoot an arrow and it goes real high, then hooray for you. And I just felt like that really has always stuck with me, and I didn't realize how much that has affected me until, oh my god, I feel like I'm gonna cry again.
let it out, it's therapy, man. She's always got the tissues, don't worry.
I was in New York last week and there was a drag performer performing Robin's song Monument, which is like a huge song for me. It came out in a really difficult time during my transition, and I've always related to that song in my darkest days. And they performed a lip sync of Dorian Corey's monologue from Paris is Burning within the middle eight instrumental bit. And you didn't hear that bit.
Yeah.
It just really got to me. And I was crying in front. I was sat behind Nicki Minaj for starters. And then I was just like crying and all of my makeup was going all down my face. And I was just like, wow, I didn't know how much this film meant to me. Because I realised at that point that I'm living the dream of what they wanted. That they wanted something where them being trans isn't a big deal. It's just part of who they are. And there's a transgender model called Octavia St. Laurent. And she's just like, I just want something more. I want to be someone. And...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. it's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It just makes me so thankful that I'm living in this time. I'm not going to cry. It just makes me so thankful that I'm living in this time and that I've got these opportunities and that I can be who I want to be, and that we as a society have gotten to the point where they would be proud of me. Mm-hmm. And these are my, you know, these are the people that paved the way for me.
Oh, yeah.
So, and also it, that whole film just shows how frustrating being trans can be and how isolating it can be.
What's so important about what you've shared today, Munro, is that a lot of people don't understand that you're not just fighting for yourself, you're fighting for a community of people who are told daily that they're not allowed to exist. But what's the most frustrating is that people don't understand that if the person next to you is not free, then neither are you. And so this is a conversation that involves all of us. It's not just for a small fraction of the world. And also, I think what people don't know about you as well is that you are the most gentle, loving person, and that you look out for everybody who is in your vicinity. I remember when I was going through a tumultuous period where I was, you know, having issues with my agent, and I was like, I don't have a manager, I don't know what to do. You introduced me to your manager, and you literally sat me down and you were like, don't worry, this is how to do it. I'm going to introduce you to my publicist. We're going to do all this together. You're not alone. And that made me feel like, in this industry, there's someone out there who is looking out for me, because, fam, we're both black, we're both women. You could have easily been like, well, you know, we both stand for similar things, we're both activists, I don't want to...
She could have so easily... They could have, and that would have been justified. I don't want to share my manager's, like,
work. Right!
Like,
yeah. Like Munro is out here, like, you put me in a position...
It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, for me, feminism is sisterhood, and it's... It's recognizing that, you know, there's not another you, so no one's your competition.
Absolutely.
And if anything, you know, you need to, with people that are doing something similar, you've got an opportunity to learn from that person. You've got an opportunity to, you know, bask in that person's strength and provide them strength when they don't have the strength that they need, and they can do the same for you. So, I mean, I don't view anyone as my competition, because there's not another me. There'll never be another me. And, you know, there'll never be another you or you or you. And there doesn't need to be. And once you start viewing other people as your competition, you've already done yourself a disservice.
Do you reckon that's part of why a lot of celebrities end up in positions where they have meltdowns publicly, because they probably don't have people in their corner who are fighting
for sure.
them. Like Kanye, like Britney.
One of the things I would love to speak about, and I love her so much. I love her. I think she's amazing. She's an amazing artist, and what she's done for female rap is incredible. But I think that we should talk about Nicki Minaj.
Ooh, let's talk about it.
Queen
because,
Radio.
Because there's a lot. There's a lot.
There's a lot
of moving parts. And like,
you heard her on radio recently, right? Her radio station, Queen Radio.
So for those who don't know, what's happened with Nicki Minaj?
Okay, so obviously the album came out and it didn't hit number one.
It's called Queen.
In America, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't hit number one in America. And it's a great album. There's amazing songs on there. But I just feel that the way that she reacted to it not going to number one was very, very, very defensive, which is fair enough, because your album is your baby.
Talking about Travis Scott and that, and Stormy and Kylie, that's
right. Dragging everyone into it. And then the whole Cardi thing happened. And then there's the whole way that she doesn't really bring other female rappers
into the fold.
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel like she just shouldn't be even threatened, because there's not another Nicki Minaj.
And there 100%. Never will be.
And there never will be. It's just like, you know, there will never be another Lil' Kim. There'll never be another Trina. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll never be another Missy Elliott. And I don't know, I feel like as a society, and especially as women, we need to really start recognizing our worth. Because I feel really, if Nicki Minaj really recognized her worth, instead of saying I'm the greatest, I'm the best, and then trying to, you know, shut out other people, I really feel that she would benefit from having all of these girls around her, because they all look up to her.
But how do you then consider like her mental state when she's got millions of people saying to her, oh, but Cardi was better on here.
Well,
Cardi's verse
thing.
Was better than this.
This now, is society, on a mental level, like, you know what I mean? Women against each other. And I really feel that. Yeah. So I think that Nicki's amazing, but I just feel like, you know, the industry has got to her.
Poppy, you're a musician, right?
Yeah.
So you'll be able to impart some knowledge on how, because I feel like you said about the industry getting to her, do you reckon maybe because possibly her label has tried to shape her in a way where she's seen as the baddest and the best to ever do it, that she's not allowed to have any elbow room anymore?
I think in part that's definitely going to be the case, but I think also as most labels are run and hosted by mostly men, if we did know our value and if we did support each other and realise that if we had that support from each other like you guys have, that when you're in a situation where you're not doing well, you can always have that, then everyone's mental health would be better anyway. And I think in the music industry it is hard when you're not naturally surrounded by a lot of women.
Yes.
So, you know, so you do feel in competition with other female rappers or other female singers or whatever it is.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm independent, because I don't, so then I can choose my circle, and having people like Geldem around me,
of course,
who I can work with and be friends with and have that support, which I didn't have before I met them.
Mm.
I didn't know a lot of women of colour, female creatives that I could kind of feel at home with, and I only knew mostly male musicians, male industry people, and it made such a difference for me and how I viewed my relationship with women and making an effort to work with them. And I think I think probably you're spun a lot of stories. Imagine being that famous and being that successful.
I can't even imagine. I walked into the room.
Yes.
And then I'll show you a video afterwards. But I'd like to sneak a little video. But basically, her car pulled up, this massive SUV. And
blacked out windows.
Everyone, like these, like kind of the men in black, got out the front.
Yeah.
And then they were like, everyone outside. And then she basically opened the door. Well, someone opened the door for her. And then, like, all of the paparazzi just swarmed on her. And I was like, I can't even imagine. It's like those videos of, you know, that we used to see in 2007 of Britney and, like, Lindsay Lohan walking down the street. It's like, how do you deal with that level of fame? I barely deal with that. And I've got 1% of that.
Mm.
Like, you know, like, if a paparazzi's following me down the street, and it's just one of them, then I just, like, feel freaked out. And so my private space in faded, and it's like pictures that I'm not gonna get, you know, any royalties for. It's like whatever. But
and when you realise people do stuff like punch paparazzi, you're like, I kind of understand why.
For sure.
Because they're really annoying.
You know, like the Kardashians getting like chased down the street.
Kim said when she was on the way to hospital, the paparazzi almost made one of the ambulances crash because they were chasing
her.
Right? You know what I mean?
That's insane.
It's crazy. So I mean, I completely understand that you become a little bit numb to reality. I mean, I had the whole of the world's press, like, trying, like, smearing me. And, like, I barely coped. I just gone into autopilot, and I was like, okay, I need to, like, turn this into something, because I knew that I was right.
Of course you are.
I didn't have any doubt in my mind. I kind of felt, well, should I have said anything? And then I was like, no. You know, like, people are going to understand eventually. And I just kept on going and going and going. And then I was like, you know what, I actually don't have anything to be ashamed of. And I think it was really other black women rallying behind me and just always being there and just providing, you know, strength and perspective when I didn't really have it. So I honestly feel that if it wasn't for the for black women rallying behind me, then I wouldn't have had the perspective or been able to see the situation for what it was and not how it made me feel.
Oh, black women continue to save the world, and it's not even our job to. And probably I've seen in one of your music videos where you really do push female solidarity, and there's a video where there's so many women, and there's like a car, and there's women in the car, and there's women all
video
lined
is dope.
Up.
Video is dope.
It's just celebrating the divine feminine. Another thing as well is that there's such a bias against women in terms of, you know, people thinking that we can't emotionally respond to things properly, which is why the industry is full of men making decisions for us. The world is full of, you know, men making decisions of what we can do with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see those decisions being pushed on men. You don't see men being told, you know, you're not allowed to ejaculate at this particular time.
I beg to differ, you know, a little bit. I'm not saying it's equal. Obviously, it's not equal. I'm just saying, I beg. I wasn't No, go on. I think men equally do have certain societal pressures that do impact on their mental health.
I think toxic masculinity is
Absolutely.
I mean, 100%. You and Chidera were talking before, and she was like, oh, when I had a breakdown, and you said you had a breakdown prior, you said you just had emotion, and you said, I just sat there and cried, and you, she was like, crying was good. Do you understand what I'm saying?
As a man,
I was just like, why would crying
be good? So what do you do instead? You punch walls?
Huh? I'll be honest with you, like, I've
known people that have punched things.
I'm not aggressive. Like, I'll be honest, I've been with my wife for like 10 years now, 8 years in a relationship totally.
Yeah.
And I feel like she probably put on one hand how many times, the amount of times she's seen me cry. Like, do you get what I'm saying?
So how do you do, because you have a child, so there's a lot of intense and fluctuating emotions that you have.
Yeah, when you have a child, you melt. Like, all of that, like, you can't hold no emotions no more.
Wow.
It's kind of like your bladder for emotion just becomes weak. Like, when you have a child, it changes up, but... Yeah,
and I guess
so. Fatherhood has softened you.
100%.
And I think that's an emotional connection with like both women and children, where you actually, I think that's a lot of men have struggle with toxic masculinity when they don't have strong female figures, strong male figures, strong family units. I think as well, like they don't have anyone to share those emotions with, and I guess a child doesn't allow you to hold anything back.
100%, 100%.
They ask all your attention.
Yeah, I'll be watching something on TV and I'll be tearing up. Like, I'm close to tears.
Oh, I'm so
and
I'm happy
like,
for
and
you.
That's because I have a child. Before that, it was like, this is just a program. And I was watching and I was thinking, why am I so emotional?
Oh, I'm so happy
it definitely
for
happens,
you.
Definitely.
I think that we definitely do need to be thinking about, you know, the pressures put on men, because then they affect women.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wait, we've seen that. We've seen that with the way, rest in peace, dear soul, Mac Miller, the way his suicide is being handled publicly in terms of how people are responding to it.
Yeah.
People are saying, making it all about Ariana.
God, that girl has had the hardest two years.
Yeah, she's been.
God, she's really been through it.
And there are so many moving parts in this conversation, because for those who are actual, you know, Mac Miller fans, they will know that he has been quite open about his tumultuous relationship with drugs and his mental health. And, you know, people are realizing quite recently that Ariana, during that relationship, was, you know, for a while saving him. And as much as I think that's a lot of strength that she's put into that relationship, it really, really bugs me, because women are always put in the position where we have to be saving people, almost like it's our responsibility. But Poppy, I'm sure you have, you know, a similar experience too.
Yeah, and also just, I feel strongly about in terms of representation, when I'm making music videos, we had a kind of brief recently where I was writing a video and it was like the idea of having someone else rescue or save someone else. And I was like, I don't want it to be an older woman or a woman at all, because I don't want to have the picture that a woman nurtures a man or saves a man or looks after a man, because it's not helpful. And I think it's that, like, representation is so important when we look at these things, because I remember once I was doing something for someone, an ex-partner, and they were like, and I was just like getting annoyed with them, and they were like, yeah, but like girlfriends like being like mums.
Whoa,
what?
No.
Like, how
society got you messed
yeah
up.
Like, how did you get into that place?
Are you my child?
I enjoyed doing everything for you. No, I don't. You just can't do it yourself. So I have to. And it's really interesting how things are internalized and how women are internalized as givers and nurturers and savers a lot of the time. And we feel guilty if we don't do those things.
You're right. And I'm learning to take on the role of saving myself and taking responsibility for the outcome of my own life and being able to understand that whilst there will always be things that happen that are out of my control, I can choose the way I respond to them. But more importantly, I can let myself tell that story. And Monroe, fun fact about you is that you practice witchcraft, right?
Yeah.
And
Oh, wow, you're scaring me.
I was actually going to
ask you about that, because I saw it on your bio, innit? And I said, because I'm from West Africa, innit?
Is it on my bio?
It wasn't in your... Yeah,
is it?
Maybe you said, because you said it feels like it's more, it prioritizes, like, religion is kind of, you said it's kind of more male dominated.
It's male centric.
That's
what
you're saying, yeah.
Serves men.
Yeah, West Africa's where.
That's what I'm saying. So if someone says they practice witchcraft right now, I'm saying.
But do you know what,
like,
I'm interested in, Sully, is that your first response, your instinct, knee jerk reaction was that you're scared.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Why is it that you were scared about hearing that Monroe practices witchcraft? Is it because maybe in the world we see witchcraft as something that's dark and terrible,
you know,
or is it because it's
a
woman?
The fear of witchcraft originates because men didn't trust women congregating together, and the whole premise of witchcraft being something evil is because it centers women.
And the men of these older societies didn't trust women. It's the old divide and conquer. It's like, that's why they didn't allow slaves to read, because once slaves could read, then they could figure out an exit strategy. So that's where the fear of
and that's all over the world.
Oh no, but I think with that to just to kind of like juxtaposition that, but because when you say witchcraft, like I can see where you're coming from. It's the same way when people say black magic, you know what I mean? For me, a lot of African traditionalism is like, a lot of our thing has been defined as black magic because the Western world couldn't appreciate
but
it.
Why is witchcraft scary?
Wizardry.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. I want to finish my point. So when I say black magic,
you're out here reading Harry Potter.
I feel like there's, if you're talking about like when in Africa, there's people that practice spiritual magic in the sense that they sacrifice animals, you know what I mean? They do blood, they do some heinous thing in the name of a spiritual kind of like.
Just like Christianity.
Yeah, the same thing. Yeah, 100%. Just like religion. Sure. Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure. But so, you don't have to do that.
No, I don't think you have to do that. That's what I was asking. You practice witchcraft, I'm saying, are you practicing witchcraft or are you practicing witchcraft?
Witchcraft.
He wants
witchcraft
to know whether you're sacrificing things.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? I want to know how real it's getting.
For clarity, Monroe, what does your practice entail for people that are really curious about what your version of witchcraft is? Because there are so many misconceptions flying around. There are no chickens being killed.
But if I was, then, you know, fair enough. There's animal sacrifice in every single major religion the world.
As a Muslim, we sacrifice. I had to. So I cut you off again. Finish
no,
what
it's
saying,
fine. But like, as a Muslim, like you can only eat certain meats.
Yeah.
And certain meats that are killed certain ways. Yeah. So how is that any different to me?
And a prayer is said as well.
You know, and like utilizing all of the animal. Like if I see witchcraft as a very misunderstood thing for a very clear reason. Mm-hmm. And the term black magic was coined because of the fear of who was practicing that magic. Mm-hmm. It was a religion that was largely of the people that were enslaved. And it's a power. It's a source of, you know, if these Christian missionaries going over and these, like, you know, colonizers going over and seeing something that they see as scary, which was black people. And we still see white people scared of black people, but they didn't know what they were doing, you know?
Yeah.
So the notion of black magic is something, is an idea that's just going to have swelled out of fear. But, like, you know, that's that.
just before we kind of wrap up this entire discussion, I just wanted to ask Poppy, Monroe, like, is there anything you guys want to discuss? Poppy, obviously, as a musician, you've always got like content coming out. Is there anything that we should be looking out for in terms of like releases, you know, projects, you know, videos, Nike campaigns, you know?
Get that coin.
My EP's coming out soon.
Is it okay if we hear the name of it? What's the name of the EP?
I don't know if I'm okay. Oh. I'm gonna say it and then you might have to cut it out later.
Don't worry, let's keep the suspense. An EP is coming soon. Is that going to be this year or early next year?
Yeah, this year is coming out very soon. Jeez. And I'm doing like a special music video thing for it that I don't want to say too much about. And my headline show, my next headline show is at Jazz Cafe on the 14th of November. Make sure you're there. I've told you all now, so if you're not there, I'm going to be cussing.
Exciting. Monroe, what can we expect from you? You're always doing bits.
Yeah, so I'm basically working on my first book.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited. So this is major. Congratulations.
On working out how that's going to look and TED Talk.
Y'all heard that.
Yes. So, yeah, I won't say when that's happening, but that's happening within the year.
Oh, wow.
And also working on a talk show format.
Jeez.
So gonna be delving into Oprah territory. That is the mood.
Oh, honey.
Oprah is the mood for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Trans Oprah.
Oh, yes. We need you. Thank you for that.
I'll set off for Tyra Banks.
So how the show works is that every time before we wrap up, we ask every single person in the room to say something that they have learnt today, because as much as this is all about having important discussions, what's more vital is that we understand that the aim here is to learn and take away something that we can apply in our own life. So I guess I'll start with something that I've learned today. I've learned from Monroe that self-sabotage is something that is a sign that you are entering a really dark episode of your mental health, because it's about you trying to put yourself in a position where you are familiar with bad things happening to you so that you can have a reason to feel sad, so that you can have a reason to feel like your life isn't going well. And it gives you an opportunity to, I guess, wallow rather than taking power back into your hands, because it's really, really hard to choose to be positive, and it's really, really hard to do the right thing you need to do for yourself, which is to push and power through. What about you, Silly? What have you learned today?
I think Poppy actually educated me about Baldwin. It was more like of a reaffirmation of the fact that, like, people, everyone seems strong in it. People seem strong in it, but behind the scenes, you don't really know the different issues that they're going through mentally, you know what I mean? So I think that was quite enlightening to me. And obviously we had an interesting discussion about witchcraft.
Which
we're going to continue sometime. You know what I mean? But yeah, so that I actually enjoyed, that was actually very enlightening to me, actually. Yeah.
What about you, Poppy? What did you learn today?
The fact that you kind of never know what situation you'll find yourself in and how important it is to have support in your life. Because you never know when you might say the wrong quote-unquote thing and everything goes crazy, and you actually really need people that you can trust and that you care about, and I think women around you. And I think that's sometimes we forget when we're in a very kind of neoliberal individualist society that we feel like we have to do everything ourselves, and if you have any help from anyone, you're not entrepreneur, or you're not,
of course.
Yeah. And I think realizing that you can share everything you have and you'll still have as much as you had before is a really important thing that I've learned today.
Amazing. Monroe, what have you learned today?
I learned from Poppy that the way, Poppy reaffirmed to me that the way that people may act is a lack of role models or lack of being exposed to that kind of energy. And how we don't really talk about how men can't really process emotions in the same way sometimes. So I think it's just a reaffirming that we need to think a little bit more about each other before getting frustrated with each other. I think that obviously has its boundaries of emotional labour.
We do have to look out for each other.
But I do feel that, you know, we all have an impact on each other, and it's extremely important to bear in mind that we all have our own journey.
Completely agree with you that there is a major impact, and that every single person is affected by the conversation to do with mental health. And so if you've been listening and you've been affected by anything we've discussed in this episode, you are not alone. And there are so many charities that are available and willing to listen to you. There is Mind, which can be reached via social media or directly on 0208 192122, and there is also LGBT Switchboard, which again can also be accessed via social media, online, and also via 0207 837 6768. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, this has been such an incredible episode. I'm really glad we had this conversation. Can you imagine? We discussed everything from witchcraft to toxic masculinity to suicide to race, and we all come from different aspects of life. I mean, Sully's Muslim, Monroe's out here practicing witchcraft, but yeah, we were able to have a really rounded grown-up conversation where we were able to not just learn from each other but also be able to discuss difficult things. So this is proof that people can come from different walks of life and still be able to learn from each other.
Amen.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.